I do believe it. As Mike began that first song with being the refuge, and then as he continued to sing, I thought about how that's exactly the message that I have this morning. And as he continued to sing, each song kind of brought it out and gave me a little bit of confirmation, Tony, on what to preach this morning. But I can tell you this morning, Preacher Tim is not here this morning. And I believe he wouldn't mind me saying what I'm about to say. But Preacher Tim is not here this morning. And I have felt his presence just in the songs that Mike is singing as he talked about how God's been good. And I began to think on that front pew about he was good even when I wasn't. He was good when I wasn't. When I was lost, he was still good. And when he saved my wretched soul, he's still good. He's still good on the mountaintop, and he's even better in the valley this morning. My Lord, he's good this morning. If you've got your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 12. Go to Acts chapter 12 this morning. He's trying to do something this morning. He is trying to do something this morning. Will you let him this morning? Let's stand for the reading and the honoring of God's word this morning. If you've got to chapter 12, if you found your place, shout amen. Well, that was half of you. What about the other half? Shout an amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, it says, "Now about the time Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter, sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not all that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought a vision. When they were in the second war, they came unto the which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety the Lord hath sent him, delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. And verse 12, so I'm going to conclude the reading. It says, And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Yes. If I could, just for a moment this morning, preach this thought. From Satan's prison to God's presence. From Satan's prison to God's presence. Pray. Kind Jesus, Lord, I thank you. God, I'm nothing without you, Father, and I just want to thank you for everything, God, that you've ever done for me, God, and what you've done for each and every person that's in this place this morning. God, we're not worthy, God, of anything that you do. You're going to do in this service. Thank you for what you've already done. And it's by the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Thank you, David. A little technical difficulties. But I want you to see from Satan's prison to God's presence. Number one, I want us to look at the prison in which Peter was in. I want you to see that he was in the prison for one reason. The Bible says that it pleased the Jews that Herod had done, went through, and he had killed James in front of all these people. Get this picture in your head. He had killed James in front of all of these people. And now, because it pleased the Jews, he went and got Peter and put him in the prison. And can I tell you this morning? This prison was not like the county over here down the street. You see, you didn't probably get three meals a day. You didn't get all this luxury bed and all of these things and have all of this stuff that was in the prison. When they were in prison, Brother Johnny, there was nothing. I can imagine as it was dirt floors and all the worst of the worst. I want you to get that vision in your head as he was in prison. The worst of the worst places. But I want you to look at something else too. How many guards were there guarding Peter? You see, there was four. There was four of them. Four quarter runs, they were... And get this picture in your head that at that time, the worst of the worst of the worst, the murderers, all of these bad people that you would think, guess how many prison guards they had? They had two guarding them. And I got to thinking about that thing as to why he had four guarding him. Why did he have four guarding him? Give you a little bit about King Herod or Herod. This was of the same lineage of back whenever Jesus was born. And the wise men were told to go find him. And the same man that said, when you find him, come back and let me know so I can come worship with you. But he wasn't going to worship him. You know, after that, all of those babies were killed. All of that. This is of the same lineage of kings. You see, he had gotten in this prison. And as he had done all of these things, as Herod had got him into this prison and throwed him in there, there were four guards instead of two. If you go back and if you read your Bible, and David, you'll know this. In Acts chapter 5, Peter was a part of the ones that escaped before. So he had told himself, listen. He had told the guards, he said, you know, last time they got away. Last time they had gotten away, there was only two guards with them. Last time they were able to escape. Because if you go back, he says, the guards, says, the ones that were in the prison, well, they're in the temple in Acts chapter 5. They've gotten out. Come on. This time he said, nah, you ain't getting out. Peter, you ain't getting out this time. He put chains around him, and during this time, whenever he had chains upon him, they chained him to the actual two guards that were on the inside of the prison. There were two guards on the inside in the cell with Peter physically. And then there were two by the doors, what the Bible says. So there was two on the inside. If he made it through them, he wasn't going to make it through the two on the outside. So I want you to see the prison that was going on here. You see, there was one goal during this time. There was one goal for Peter being in prison from Herod. That was for Peter to end up the same way that James ended up. That was so that he could get the Jews on his side, because the Jews didn't like Herod. But he'd done this because he'd seen it please the Jews. So he got them on his side. He said, okay, since they're on my side with James, I'm going to take Peter too. You know, that's the well-known one. That's the one that likes to speak out. He said, I'm going to take him too. Let me tell you something. The reason that I believe that God gave me this thought was from Satan's prisons to God's presence. I want you to think about what Satan's goal is for you. What is Satan's goal for you? Let me tell you what Satan's goal for you is. Jesus describes it in a parable of the sheepfold. He talks about how he is the door in order for to get in. He said that anybody that comes over the wall is considered a robber or a thief. John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he said, I am come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. You see, the only reason that Peter was put in this prison was to die. His end goal was to die. There was no other reason. He was going to keep him after the Passover. His time was going to be up. He was going to get killed probably the same way that James got killed. Get that picture in your mind of the prison. But you see, I want you to go to verse 5 and see not the prison, but the prayer. The Bible says in verse 5, it says, therefore, Peter was kept in prison. That's the first half. Then there's a word in there. There's a word in there. But. We say it all the time. We give all this bad thing that's going on. But God. But God done this. When I was at my lowest points, whenever I was going through this, but God come in. But God showed up. But prayer, listen to this, but prayer was made without ceasing. Listen to that. Of what? Of the church. Unto God. For who? For him. For Peter. So they had gathered together and was praying for Peter. The Bible says in James 5 and 16, the latter part of it, that it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. A lot of people look at that and you think, oh, that's good. Yeah. You know you're right with God. No, that word, that word availeth, that means it's got some power to it. That means there's a little bit of force behind it. There's something that's unlike any other one. There's something behind that one. Charles Spurgeon said this quote. He said, the best praying man is the man who is most believingly familiar with the promises of God. He said, after all, prayer is nothing but taking God's promises to him and saying to him, do as thou hast said. Prayer is the promise utilized. A prayer which is not based on a promise has no true foundation. You see, during this time, as they were gathered together, I thought about it, how Brother Tony, there wasn't just one. There wasn't just two. There probably wasn't just three. The Bible says that was a church. The entire group. I don't know how many it was. It could have been 10, it could have been 20, it could have been 30. Gathered together in this small place. And you see, they were there for the right reason. They were in one mind and of one accord. You see, friend, if we want to see God move and continue to see God move, we've got to seek his face in prayer. Whenever a church comes together, and I've experienced it, and if you've been here any length of time at Liberty, you've experienced it as well, as whenever the church comes together as a group on some night other than Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights, whenever they come together as a church and as they pray, guess what happens? Things start to happen. Things start to happen. As I was thinking in my mind this morning, I thought about Mindy Henson, about how the church had come together in one mind and one accord. We come here that night and we prayed. There was 98% chance that it was cancer and a 2% chance that it wasn't. And lo and behold, guess what happened? 2% of God was enough. And I think it was even the same exact night as Jackson Ingram had cancer, and we were praying for these blood levels and all of these things to go on and that needed to happen. And guess what? I want to say they doubled what we were praying for. So let me tell you something this morning. If you don't get nothing out of the words that come out of my mouth, Jesus Christ is enough. It don't matter what you're facing, what you're going through. If you seek his face fervently, then you'll have answers. Amen. You'll have answers. You know, as I thought about that and even thought about it, I think it was Ansley, which one? The little one. The little one's arm. That day as she fell off of the trampoline, I think it was trampoline. And about how you look at it and they were like, she's going to have surgery, if I'm correct. We were thinking it was going to be surgery and all of these things that were supposed to go on. But yet, guess what? People started praying, and guess what happened? God started moving. And if I'm not mistaken, she didn't have to have surgery. It went back together on its own. It's simple. It's God. It's God. But you see, there's something about when you get broken over something and when the church comes together in one mind and one accord, and we get down on our knees and we seek God's face above everything that even we can even imagine. Nothing else bothers us. The things on the outside, they don't bother us. But all we're worried about is seeking God on somebody's behalf. And God starts to move. Why do we stop? Why do we stop doing it? We see it work time and time and time and time again. We see God move when we come together. Why do we stop? Why do we stop? Something works. Guess what normally we keep doing? What worked? If Tanner's got a baseball swing or whatever and he sees that it's working for, guess what he's going to do? He's going to keep doing it. He's going to keep doing it. Why do we stop? Why do we stop? We need to get back to prayer. Not only, individual prayer. But I'm talking about prayer outside the church. I'm talking about outside of, not the church, but the church times. Yeah, it's easy to pray when we're already here. But it's when you make that sacrifice to come from whatever it is and come to this place, God honors that. God honors that. Not only do you see the prayer, but I want you to see the peace that Peter had. I want you to see the peace that Peter had. In Acts 12, verse 6, it says that when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping. He was sleeping between two soldiers. He was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Before it all, he had just seen James get killed. He had just seen James get killed, and he knew that whenever Herod sent him to come get him and to throw him in prison, guess what he knew? He knew that he was next. He knew that the same thing that happened to James was going to be the same thing that happened to him. He was going to die. He wasn't going to make it. That was the thought process. That's what he probably thought, or that he probably knew. Bible says in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. In verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I got to thinking about that peace. I got to think about, man, if I knew what was about to come, or if I had just seen the same thing happen to James, I wonder if I'd be able to sleep that night. I wonder if I would be able to sleep in that prison that night. Everything that's going on around him, all the noise, all the things that have happened in previous. I thought about it this morning. Would I be able to sleep? Sometimes I can't sleep if, just being honest, if something's going on at work. Sometimes I can't sleep if stuff's going on in the family. Stuff's going on here. Stuff's going on there. I got a big day planned for the next day. But you see, the thing is, we all ought to be able to. Because if we trust God enough, the Bible says that peace that passeth all understanding. If we're a child of the King, we ought to have that. But I thought about how he had that peace. I thought about how did he have that peace that passeth all understanding? He's about to get killed and all of these bad things are about to happen. I thought about that. David, you know why he had that peace? Because he'd done been there before. It wasn't his first time in the jail cell. It wasn't his first time. You see, Peter had seen God do all of these things, not only in his life, but in the life of all the others around him. You see, Peter was there when he fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He was there that day. He was in prison that day that God got him out. He was there. He was there on the day of the Gadarene man. He was the one that seen Jesus put the ear back on the temple guard. He's seen it with his own eyes. He's seen it. He was the one, if you remembered, he was the one, Clint. He's falling down and he says, Lord, save me. Yeah. And guess what happened? Yeah. He was the one that walked on the water. Jesus. And you know what I got to thinking about? It's if he'd done it then. And I can imagine it as Peter's laying there and he's just, I don't know, kick back, laid back, you know. He's probably just sitting there sleeping and he's probably already thought before he went to bed. He said, if he'd done it then, if he'd done it that day, he'll do it again. If he done it that day, I guarantee it, that's what he was saying to himself as he was laying there and as he was about to drift off. That was the only thing that he was saying to himself was, if he done it then, he'll do it now. If he done it then, he'll do it now. And all of a sudden, he was asleep. Bible says he was sleeping in and amongst them. Not only do you see the peace, not only do you see the peace, but I want you to see the product of prayer. The product of prayer. If you go back and you read, I read it to you earlier, but in verse 7 through 11, you see to where the angel of the Lord had come and he'd smote him on the side. He said, get up, get all your stuff ready. Get all your stuff ready to go. Get everything ready. You see, I don't believe the angel of the Lord would have come if the people of the church had not been praying specifically for him. He might be still in prison. He might be dead. Well, we knew he'd be dead because the next day it was going to be his time. But as the Lord smote Peter, and I thought about in verse number 11, the Bible says, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, I know of a surety. He said, I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me. You see, sometimes in our life, you know, whether you lost here this morning, whether you saved, you can go through life and you can go through years upon years upon years, and you can go and you can keep walking, and you come through these wrecks, and you come through this cancer, and you come through all of these things. You come through the family troubles, you come through the friend troubles, the marital troubles, the financial troubles. But friend, can I tell you, when you come through it, you can look back. You can always say that I know of a surety that it was the Lord and he hath delivered me. Every time, even when I was lost, I could do it. I could do it. Even when I was saved, just like now, just the other week when that car come across that stop sign and should have ran into me. I should have been into the same lane that it was in. But it didn't take me but about a quarter of a mile to look back and say, hey, I know of a surety that the Lord delivered me from that wreck. I know it. That there's no doubt. Brother David says it. I've been in this thing too long, and you cannot tell me otherwise that he ain't who he says he is. You see, the product of prayer, I can imagine it as Peter gets woke up by an angel, and he's saying, do all of this stuff, and as he's bound by those chains, and those chains just fell off. As he gets up, he girds himself, he says, put on, he puts his sandals on. As he's walking through, I can imagine, I mean, if any of y'all are like me during the morning, it's like a daze, and you just walk in, and I can imagine as he gets everything up, and he's like, what's going on? And as he goes to walking, it says through the first ward and the second ward, and I believe the reality come whenever they walked up to that gate. And all of a sudden, it opened on its own. And that's when you see, when he looked back and he said, I know of a surety. Friend, can I tell you this morning, I know of a surety, and I hope that you do as well. But you see, from Satan's prison to God's presence, you say, how do you see God's presence in this thing? How can you not see it in this passage? The Bible says in verse 12, it says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And that last bit right here, it says, where many were gathered together praying. Brother Jackie, I don't know if your Bible reads the same as mine, but I know in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst of them. You see, when they come that night, or however long they prayed, let me tell you something, football wasn't on their mind. Basketball wasn't on their mind. Hunting wasn't on their mind. What they were going to get to eat after church wasn't on their mind. The fishing spot wasn't on their mind. All of these things, who's going to take care of the nursery, wasn't on their mind. All of these things about anything on the outside of where they were at. See, they come together that day in one mind and one accord, and they left everything else on the outside. You see, that's how God shows up, and that's how you know you're in the presence of God, whenever time doesn't matter. When things on the outside don't matter. Thought about the presence of God. What's the difference between the presence on that day? The presence on that day just by praying together as a group and seeing Jesus face to face. You know what the difference is? You'll be able to. It's the same presence up there as it is down here when two or three are gathered in His name, because He said that He'd be in the midst. As Mike comes and gets a song of invitation.